Yes.
Thank you. Okay, so what is the isoperimetric problem? The isoperimetric problem great dates back to the ancient Greeks. We will see the historic component, and it's to determine among all planar figures with a fixed perimeter, the one with the largest area. So I tell you the perimeter, which is the length of the curve that bounds it, is 12. We're going to use 12 rather than 17. 17 is one of my favorite numbers. I often use 17, but today we're going to use 12. You'll see. And I give you a curve and I ask you, okay, if I give you this length, what is the planar figure with maximum area? That's what we want to. And my question is, do you have a guess? And it won't kill the movie if you guess the end right now. There will be lots of things that come in between. So if you have a guess, please put it in the. Yes, Diana, do you want to answer?
I think that I have seen this problem, but when you have like a fixed figure, like cuadrado, rectángulo, cosas así, then you have like, okay, voy a cambiar español porque no voy a volver. Tienes la función de o sea, de la figura y la maximizas derivando para obtener cuál sería o sea, cuál sería la máxima área, teniendo las ecuaciones del área y del perímetro.
Exacto. Entonces, eso es lo primero que vamos a hacer. Ese es el primer ejercicio que vamos a hacer. Si escogemos, ok, those who don't speak Spanish, you let me know after my explanation and then I'll translate. Lo primero que vamos a hacer es, vamos a decir, si tenemos una figura dada con perímetro fijo, ¿cuál es la que tiene mayor área? Pero ahora lo que quiero preguntar es, ¿cuál de todas las figuras, puedo hacer cualquier figura, cuál es la que tiene mayor área? So there, yes.
Yeah, so there is on the chat, Lee says the circle.
The circle. So the candidate, there's a candidate that says among all pictures, sorry, this needs to be looked like a circle. If this is L, I give you L, this is the one that's going to have the maximum. Okay, so this is a candidate. Oh, sorry. Okay. So we're gonna see. I mean, the part of what we're gonna do today is figure out whether this is really it or not. Okay. So the goal of the course is to prove that this guess is correct. And you might be saying, but that should not be that hard. And in many ways, no, it's not. But one of the beautiful things is that there are many different approaches. And so I am using this problem to motivate the introduction of different areas of mathematics. So you'll see today, hopefully at the end, I will be able to talk a little bit about Fourier series and Fourier analysis, okay, which will be used to prove these. And then in another class, we're going to do something that's purely geometric, very differently. And this problem, which we're going to deal with in two dimensions, is a very has analogous questions in higher dimensions, and it plays a central role in geometric measure theory. Okay, now we're going to have a bunch of warm-up questions. So here are our warm-up questions. So I want you to look. Warm-up question one is the is refers to what Diana was saying. Of all the rectangles of perimeter 12, which one has maximum area? Okay, so we're going to now, what is the area of a rectangular hexagon of side length 2? So what's a rectangular regular hexagon? This thing here is a regular hexagon. It's un hexagonal. It has six sides. Each side has length 2. The angle here is 60. And it asks, what's the area? And then the next one is, what is the area of a regular dodecagon? So that means 12 sides, okay? Picture here, 12 sides, and each side has length 1. So you realize the perimeter of these three shapes is the same, and I'm asking, what's the area? Okay. Are there questions about the questions? Okay, so we are going to do something. So we warm up. You know, this is kind of an exercise class, not just me who's going to exercise. We're going to stop these. I'm going to. So thank you all for participating in the breakout room. Let's see. My iPad is having some difficulties. Okay. So let me give you a hint. So what I will do is I'm going to give you a hint for each one of the problems. If you did them, great, double check is correct. If not, this will give you something to think about. So for the rectangles, right? For the rectangle, what you would ask to do is you have a rectangle. And so the rectangle has sides if you want A and B, and you know that the perimeter is 2A plus 2B. That's the perimeter, sorry. And that's 12. And what you are being asked to do, so this is the perimeter. And what you are being asked to do is to maximize the area. And what's the area? Well, it's D. Is A times B. So the easiest thing to do is to make the area a function of just one variable and maximize that, knowing that there are some constraints. So turn into a function of A, for example, then maximize. Okay? So that was the first one. So, and that's a hint if you didn't finish. Now for the hexagon, it's unfortunate I'm not very good at drawing. So the hexagon, what do I want you to do? I'm gonna draw, what's the best way to do it? I say, well, I have six triangles, okay? For number two, I have six triangles. If I am able to figure out the area of one triangle and then I multiply by six, I should have the answer. So let's draw one triangle. The triangle has side. So the hexagon with side length 2. So I have side length 2. What the picture told me is that this angle here, if you look, it says 60. I know it's light, but that's what it says, 60. And so the best way to do is find the area, find this area. So I'm going to call it A16 because it's 1/6 of the picture. And then the total area is 6 times A16. And how do we do that?
We can use Pythagoras theorem.
Sorry?
Oh, I said that we can use Pythagoras theorem.
Perfect. And so tell me.
We pick a sine of 60 and solve for adjacent.
Okay, but the sine of 60, the blue triangle doesn't have a straight triangle, a 90 degree angle. So that's why I'm cutting in half.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. You cut in half and then there's like 30, 60, and 90.
Ah. Okay, so I cut in half, and now this becomes 30, correct? And this better be 60, and this is 90, yes, okay?
I think there was someone raising their hands.
Yes, Diana has raised her hand.
Yeah, Diana, do you wanna?
Iba a comentar otra forma, o sea, sin trigonometría, porque nada más si ya cortabas el triángulo a la mitad, ya tenías que... como el original era un triángulo equilátero, la base en lugar de 2 te queda 1, la hipotenusa te queda 2 y la altura de ese triángulo cortado a la mitad te queda raíz de 3. Entonces ya tienes la base por la altura entre 2. Es el área.
No, el triángulo no es equilátero. This is not, es isósceles, pero no equilátero.
Ah, ok.
So the triangle doesn't have all sides equal. This is a 2 and we don't know about this one. Okay.
Okay.
Disculpa, ¿en este caso no es equilátero?
Puede que sí, pero dado que lo que pasa es que en el siguiente caso no.
Perfecto, está bien.
En el siguiente no, y en el de la siguiente página aún menos, entonces por eso, digamos que esto es, this is a hint for what's to come next, okay? Do I have anything else in the chat?
Yeah, there's now a question. So Litron says, but we know the angle are the same, so the sides are.
Yes, so in this particular case, I agree. Yes, it's, sorry, Diana. So yes, in this particular case, we can do it like that. I just was trying to give you a hint for the next one also. But so Diana, can you tell me then what was your reasoning, since everything, so in this case, the equilateral in this case. Diana, can you tell me again? Sorry.
Sí, o sea, como en este es equilátero, y de hecho en el otro usamos tangente. En este usamos de que lo dividíamos en la mitad, entonces la base te queda 1, que es la mitad de 2. La uh-huh. hipotenusa, como es un lado que igual mide 2, te queda 2. Y la altura te queda raíz de 3. Entonces el área es 1 por raíz de 3 entre 2. Y luego eso dos veces para tener el triángulo completo. Entonces el área del triángulo a la mitad es raíz de 3 sobre 2. El triángulo completo es raíz de 3. Y el del hexágono sería 6 veces raíz de 3.
Okay. ¿Y de a todos les dio más o menos lo mismo?
Sí, sí.
Okay. Entonces ahora hagamos el, y esta era la razón. Cuando tenemos 12, entonces hacemos lo mismo. Sorry. Okay, now this is going to be complicated. Every time I'm Spanish, tell me, Kavita said I was supposed to be speaking English, so remind me that's what I'm supposed to do. I have 12 triangles, and now each side has one, and this one is a 30 degree. So you're gonna do the same thing. My goal is I have a side of one. Sorry, this is not supposed like this, but this is 30. And the goal is to do exactly what we did here, which was we divide these into half. I understand this doesn't look like half, but this is one half. You're gonna say this is 15 degrees. And then you find the area for 1 over 12, one of the triangles. And then you multiply 12, 1 over 12 gives you the area that we're looking for. Okay? Okay, so this is the homework. Don't worry, I will write it and as a homework. Now the question is, are there questions about this page? So I can go to the next page. Okay, what do you think, what properties of polygons with fixed perimeters seem to maximize the area? And just by looking at the shape, if we had put the one that gives us the maximum here, it will have been kind of inside. You have a sense that this, the big, there's more area here in the dodecagon that in the hexagon, correct? I mean, it seems to feel more. What do you think, if I want to increase the area and I have regular polygons, what should I do?
Can you repeat the question?
Thank you. If I want to, I want to increase the area of regular polygons, what type of polygons, what feature of the polygon tells me your area is getting bigger? What do you, I mean, I don't need a proof at this point, I want to guess.
More sides?
More sides, correct. Perfect.
Achicando las longitudes de los lados.
Perdón?
Achicando, acortando la longitud de los lados.
Exacto, y acortando estas longitudes nos dan más y más lados. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to talk about the isoperimetric quotient, okay, for the planar figure of area A and perimeter P. So it's called IQ, is 4 pi A over P squared. That's a number. And Notice the problem is we want to maximize A for a fixed B. So in some sense, what we're trying to do is to maximize IQ, correct? If B is fixed, the maximum for IQ occurs at the same place as the maximum for A. Okay. But let me ask you, why is this equivalent to minimize the perimeter among all planar figures of area A? Because if you had gone to look online at the isoperimetric problem, you could have gotten what I said, or you can gotten the following explanation. The isoperimetric problem consists on minimizing the perimeter among all planar figures of area A. Can you tell me why those two things are the same? So let me maybe ask. Why is maximizing A with fixed L the same as minimizing L with fixed A?
Shouldn't be fixed P, like minimizing L.
With oh, fixed P. I changed the name, yes.
So Jesus says on the chat that 1 over x goes to 0 when x goes to infinity.
Mm-hmm. Because the smaller I make my P, the bigger I make my IQ. And the bigger I make my A with a P fix, the bigger I make my IQ. So they're basically the same type of problem, correct? Questions about that? So that's why, depending on where you're looking, you might find one definition or another of the isoperimetric problem. Okay. Now, let's compute IQ for a disk of area A and perimeter P. Okay, what's the area? So let's imagine that we have a disk. We're going to do this together. We have a disk of area A and perimeter P.
There is a question.
Yes, thank you.
Sorry, there is a question on the chat. So Diana says, but how do you know that they are equivalent? It could have been A over P or A over P squared, A over P to the 3, and so on.
Oh, I define this numbered IQ to be 4 pi A over P squared. The reason why I choose a square, thank you, that's a very important question, is because if you think A squared is measured in metros cuadrados, okay? And P squared, P is measured in meters. And when we do P squared, it's metros cuadrados. So this quantity doesn't have a unit, okay? And so this number, if I have P fix, then to maximize it, I maximize A. And if I have A fix, to maximize it, I minimize P, okay? And I have something without units. Did I answer your question? Ignacio, there are many questions on the chat.
Yeah, it's a discussion about the powers of P. So Lee answers, I think those would all be an equivalent maximization problem as well. And then Diana says, para que no sea dimensional.
We need, tiene que ser no dimensional. El número es un número fijo. Okay. Let's go back to my question. I have my lovely disk here. It has area A and perimeter P. How I want to compute AIQ. How am I going to do that? What's the area? You know, I'm sure all of you know. How do you compute the area of this disk? Ignacio?
No, it's me, the one who's writing. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just translating. Yeah.
Okay.
por el radio de la circunferencia al cuadrado.
El área es pi por el radio al cuadrado. Gracias. ¿Y el perímetro? What's the perimeter?
Pi times the pi times 2r.
2 pi r, perfect. And now let's compute IQ. It's 4 pi a, so pi r square over p squared, that's 4, sorry, is 2 pi r square. And what you realize is 4 pi squared r square over 4 pi squared r square. And that gives us 1. Okay, so for the disk, the isoperimetric quotient is 1. Now, for next time, your homework, and that's why I wanted to do the triangles, is find the formula for the area of a 2n-gon. So that's a polygon on two regular polygon of 2n sides with perimeter 12. Compute the corresponding IQ and tell me what happens to the formula as m goes to infinity. So you get more and more and more sides, okay? We had a sense, I was told, the more sides you get, the more area you have. And so it looked like we should be trying to maximize these. And now what I want you to do, what mathematicians do when they do examples, they do, is they have conjectures. So do you have a conjecture involving IQ, which proved our guess is correct? So our guess was that the solution to the isoperimetric problem was the disk, okay? When we computed here, we saw that the isoperimetric quotient for the disk was 1. So what's the conjecture? How do we write? So we have a guess. This is the maximum. What should we write here? When you do these, you'll see, what do you think? Do you think that for the shapes we computed, the isoperimetric constant was bigger than 1, or less than 1? Any guesses?
Someone asks if you could please repeat the question.
Yes. Do you think that for the pictures, the three examples we did, you work on together, the isoperimetric quotient, this one, for those shapes, is it more than 1, less than 1, or 1? Just a guess.
So there are three guys, McKenna, Ortegoni, Diana, who say that it is less than 1. Mm-hmm. Actually, one of them says it's between 0 and 1.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So our conjecture is that IQ for any planar region, so omega is a planar region, for any planar region, this is less or equal than 1. And if IQ of omega is 1, then omega has to be a disk. That's the only option. So that's the way. And so that's the theorem. The theorem tells you, given a planar figure of area A and perimeter P, 4 pi a is always less than p squared. I want to remind you, this is the same thing as a cubed is less or equal than 1. And equality occurs if the figure is a disk. Okay? So the disk is the solution to the isoperimetric problem. Okay. Okay, I'm going to take 1 second to explain why I chose this problem. Because in higher dimension, in this case and in higher dimensions, this is a very important problem that has motivated lots of research in this area called geometric measure theory that we might have time to talk at the end. It's also this constant 4π has a very important role in terms of the behavior of functions on the plane. And so we will also see that in the proof that we're going to address either today or early in next class. Okay. Okay. So here is a theorem. You have a theorem. You'll like to prove it. And the first thing you start thinking is, okay, what properties? I have a minimizer. Okay. I have a minimizer, the thing that makes, I guess in this case, my maximizing area, the thing that makes this one. The first thing I say is that I like you to help me explain why the shape that maximizes IQ, remember we want it to be the disk, but we're far from there. Why should it be convex? A convex set is a set that every line connecting two points on the boundary is contained inside the shape, okay? So convex means, so this is convex. It means every time you take a point here and a point here, the whole line is inside. So this is convex. This is not convex. Let me show you a picture of a non-convex thing. This guy is not convex because if I take this point here and this point here, well, this is not inside, okay? So can you see, can you guess why? So remember, we are trying to, maybe I should write my IQ again, 4πa over p squared. We are trying to maximize a with p fixed. How do we know that the shape has to be convex? What happens if the shape is not convex? So I'm gonna ask that question a little bit more specific. If I have this shape, okay, spin up here, can you tell me why this could not, actually, why this cannot be a minimizer? Sorry, I need to draw it a little bit lower so I can do it. Can you see another shape of same perimeter that will have more area? So you see the perimeter is the blue line. Can you imagine somebody that has more area than this but has the same perimeter?
So there are several answers here. So first, Diana says, because you're losing area, if it is not convex, then Ortegon says, if the shape is convex, IQ is greater than zero but less than one. And then Lee says, draw a line across the gap and reflect the indent out.
Okay, so draw a line across the gap. I'm trying to draw a line, okay? I draw a line. Now I take I'm gonna make it a tiny bit thicker so you can see it. Now you're correct. I'm gonna take this side, exactly this length. I'm gonna reflect it. Oh, sorry, should not have done that. I am going to reflect this side on the other side, exactly the same length. Sorry, I'm sure it's not gonna look exactly the same length because my geometry, but this is supposed to be the reflection. Sorry, it's a horrible reflection. Okay, so this is the reflection. I haven't changed, same perimeter, so no perimeter change. No perimeter change. I on the other hand, look, I have way more area now. I have added all of this piece of area here. Okay.
So there is one question actually. Yeah. So Ortegon says, if the shape is convex, IQ is greater than one, but less than, greater than zero, but less than one. That was actually a question. I interpreted that to be an answer before.
Yes, the isoperimetric for everybody, for any planar domain, convex or not convex, IQ is always less or equal than one. And is always greater or equal than zero. Is always stuck in between there. So even for the convex here, but here what happens, the isoperimetric, what I am saying is that the isoperimetric quotient of the TL domain is less or equal than the isoperimetric quotient of the green domain. The green extends here, okay? Because the area, the green area is just bigger, okay? Okay, question? So I'm gonna tell you a story. This is your homework. And so it's an application from antiquity. I cannot tell you I wasn't there, whether it's true or not, but assuming that we have solved the isoperimetric problem, that we know that the maximizer is the disk, can you do the fault, can you help Frances Dido, and she found herself in the following situation. So she was the daughter of a tyrant king and the future founder of the Carthage. And she purchased from the North African natives an amount of land along the coastline, but it was no longer than the ox hide that an ox hide can surround. I'm gonna translate what this means. Ella compró un pedazo de tierra que tenía como borde la costa, pero no podía hacer más que lo que el cuero de un buey podía delinear, ¿sí? Y le dieron el buey. So she got the ox, and here is what she did. She took the ox hide, o el cuero del buey, cut it into very, very thin strips, and she made something that had length L. And now the question is, she wants a maximum amount of land. And so she wanted to maximize the area enclosed by a curve, given that she's allowed to use the shoreline as part of the region, as part of the boundary. Okay. So if it were inside, she would have done a circle, but now it's different. She has, her problem is, here is the coastline. So coast, this doesn't change. And now she has her piece of ox. You're gonna tell me, well, better be convex otherwise. And so the question is, what is this shape? Okay, I'm gonna let you think about it for next time. Okay, now what are we gonna do? So let me go back, let's focus. We are gonna prove this theorem and we're gonna use calculus. At some point, and then we're gonna have to use something else, okay? So we are gonna prove that the maximum for an IQ occurs when we have the disk, and that is always less or equal than one. Okay, let's go back to your calculus class, your vector calculus class. It told you, we talked, so this is Hurwitz's proof using Wirtinger's inequality. I understand you don't know who Hurwitz is, mathematician. Wirtinger's another mathematician, and you don't know what this inequality is. We will prove this inequality, and this will allow me to introduce Fourier series, okay? So what's the proof? We take Green's theorem and tells you if you have two differentiable functions on the plane, and gamma is a piecewise C1 curve, so it means that the curve it's nice, has one derivative, but it could have edges. So piecewise C1 could be like this. Okay, that's it. Bounding a region omega, so this is gamma. This is inside is omega. And Green's theorem, which I'm assuming you've seen, tells us that the boundary integral of gamma, this is of p dx plus q dy. So this is a boundary integral. This is a solid integral, equals a solid integral. Of qx minus py dx dy. Okay, that's something we need. And we're gonna use these to prove the theorem. Okay. So now we're gonna do something. We're gonna take a very special p and q. I'm gonna take q here to be x and p to be zero. So p is zero, this is gone. Q becomes x, and on the other side, I have this is gone. The derivative of x is one, so it tells us that the integral along the boundary of x dy is the solid integral of dx dy, and this is the area. And that's great, because this is one of the players, okay? And we have been able to write the area as something that depends on the boundary, which is what we are trying to do. Okay. Yeah. Now, how do we come? So I'm happy. This is my A in the isoperimetric quotient. I need to get somehow L out of here. So again, from your calculus class, suppose that you have a boundary curve gamma that has length L and is parameterized by arc length. I'll remind you what that means. So this means there are two piecewise C1 functions in an L periodic functions. Why is L periodic? Because I'm saying I have a curve, a closed curve that has is parametrized by our length. It means that the derivative, the length of the derivative is one. The curve here has length L. And then it's periodic because what this means is that if I start here and I travel like that, after length L, I'm back to the same point, okay? And is R length, I'll remind you what that means. R length means that I have this here, okay? Question? Okay, so we're all more familiar with periodic functions of periods 2 pi, okay, or 360, because those are sines and cosines. So the first thing we do is we convert x and y to 2 pi periodic functions. And for that, I just do a change of variable, okay? Okay, and now I have a condition here that has to do with the derivative. So let's go ahead and compute the derivatives and see how the condition on x and on y translates to f and g. So I have here, if I do these, I have f prime of theta is L over 2 pi x prime of L theta over 2 pi. G prime of theta is L over 2 pi y prime of L theta 2 pi. And then when I do when I square these out, it gives me F prime squared plus G prime squared, It doesn't work. So when I do this square, now I learned something. This gives me x prime squared L squared over 4 pi squared, and same thing here. And since the other one was equal to 1, this gives us L squared plus over 4 pi squared. Okay. Remember, what we're trying to do is to compute this area, and I need these. Okay. Ready, everybody, for the computation. So we're going to compute now. Let's write these. This is the same thing. Sorry. this is the same thing as integrating from 0 to L. Remember, x was parameterized by s. dy is y prime of s ds. Correct? That's the same thing. Now remember, I'm going to use this space. S is L beta over 2 pi. Therefore, ds is L over 2 pi d theta. And unfortunately, what I had done before told me that here I have a y prime, so I'm going to remind you, I have a g prime of theta is L over 2 pi y prime. Okay, so let's do a change of variables, okay? We're doing this change of variables. S equals L theta over 2 pi. And if you do that carefully, this tells us this is the same as the integral from 0 to 2 pi of f of theta, g prime of theta, d theta, okay? Questions? Okay. Now I wanna make a remark. Yes.
I think Diana is raising.
Go ahead. Yes, Diana.
Una duda. O sea, en g como función de theta que es y, eso es en función de, o sea, y es en función de L theta entre 2 pi, pero no sabemos cómo es esa función.
No sabemos cuál es la función y, no lo sabemos.
Ok, ok, por eso, ok, es que mi duda fue cuando hizo la derivada, que, o sea, aplicó regla de la cadena, pero, o sea, y prima queda como y prima porque no sabemos cuál es la
función. Exacto.
Ok, yes.
Sí. Ok, y ahora tenemos esto. And what I want to change a little bit, I'm trying to understand, remember, I'm trying to say, let's keep, always it's important to keep what you're doing. We're trying to prove this theorem. We're trying to prove that the area is less than something, okay? So we're trying to find an upper bound for what I'm writing. At least the boundary is here, so we're gonna have to do something else. So remark, and you'll see why. I want you to notice that the integral from 0 to 2 pi of g prime of theta d theta. Remember, this is the fundamental theorem of calculus, tells you that this is g of 2 pi minus g of 0. But the function y was periodic of period L. And when I do 2 pi, so this function g of theta and f of theta, I should have said they're periodic. F and g are periodic of period 2 pi. And so this tells me this is 0. Okay? Is that okay? And I'm going to use that because I'm going to go back. I have done my computations and here I have these. And I remembered I just did my, what I proved was that the integral from 0 to 2 pi of g prime of theta d theta is 0. So, and I'm going to call f bar.
Sorry, there's another question.
Yeah.
So Diana asks, how did we know it was periodic?
Because, thank you. Because these, remember how when I drew these little arrows, I said that these functions are periodic. I can extend them to be periodic of length of period L. Because once I go around L times, I land on the same dot, okay? So what I am saying is not the function, sorry, it's not periodic. What I'm saying, I'm gonna make it periodic in a second. What I'm saying is that G of X and Y, X of zero and X of L are the same thing, and Y of zero and Y of L are the same thing because I come back to the same point. It's a closed curve. And when I do this change, when theta is zero, And when theta is 2 pi, I am at the same point. Does that make sense, Diana?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. So I have these. So here I am going to do the following. I'm going to introduce 0 to 2 pi of f. I'm going to, this is a constant. I'll tell you who this constant is, g prime of theta, d theta. Okay, sorry. And I should have an f of theta. And here, f bar is a constant, is 1 over 2 pi, is the average. I choose this function. Just let me leave it like that. Okay? So that's what I have. Okay? So now I need to work with these. Where am I? So the area, maybe I'm not gonna, I'm trying to, so my area is like that. And here is what I would like to do. I have a nice inequality with G prime. If I were able to, I am trying to obtain area and I'm trying to obtain L squared on the other side. So I'm trying to manipulate this. I want to remind you of something. So I want to remind you that if I have two numbers, I know it's going to sound silly, but A times B is the same thing. I can write these as A squared plus B squared minus A minus B squared, okay? This is just the binomial form. It's a very complicated way to write it. It's very, very useful. So let's go back to what I had here. I have F minus F bar times G prime. So I want to write F minus F bar times G prime. So one of them is going to be A, the other one is going to be B, as 1/2 of F minus F bar square plus G prime square minus F minus F bar minus G prime square. Okay, pure algebra, I haven't done anything interesting. And now I know from the other page that from the area, that my area is the integral from 0 to 2 pi of f minus f bar g prime d theta. And look, I'm going to use this is 1/2 of the integral from 0 to 2 pi of f minus f bar square plus g prime square minus F minus F bar minus G prime square. And here I am removing something that this is positive, not negative. So I'm removing something. So I can say that this is less than 1/2 the integral from 0 to 2 pi. Don't worry, you're going to see this again. F minus F bar square plus G prime square. Okay, you're gonna say, what have I gained? This is useless. I mean, well, bear with me, it's gonna be useful, okay? And so to show you how it's gonna be useful, we're gonna go to Wirtinger's inequality. So let's assume f is a piecewise C1 periodic function with period 2 pi. Here is the inequality. Remember, then the integral from 0 to 2 pi of f theta minus f bar is less than f prime square. And moreover, it tells us that you have equality if and only if you have f of theta is f bar plus a cosine theta plus b sine theta for some constant. So what I'm gonna do, this, we will come back to this inequality. This is a very important inequality. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna use the inequality and finish the proof of the isoperimetric problem. Hurwitz proof, and then we'll come back here. So where were we? The things that I wrote by hand now are written here in a nicer way. The area is this, and I drop this term. Now I apply Wirtinger's inequality. Told me that this first integral here, so Wirtinger's inequality tells me that this gets replaced by this. Now I remind you, f prime squared plus g prime squared is L squared was a constant, L squared over 4 pi squared. I'm integrating between 0 and 2 pi, so that gives me a 2 pi. And that gives me, this is exactly L squared over 4 pi. So look what we have proven. We just proved that the area is less or equal than L squared over 4 pi, okay? Which is exactly, if you think of the IQ that was 4 pi A over L squared, that's less or equal than 1. That's what we want. And now we also need to, there is another part that says inequality happens if omega is a disk. So what do we need to get equality? Where did we lose something? So to get equality, I highlighted in red. Here is where we might have lost something, and here is what we might have lost something. So to have that A is exactly L squared over 4 pi, we need this inequality and this inequality to be equalities, correct? Questions? Okay. So equality if and only if. So what do we need? We need this piece to be zero, correct? And we need, so we need f of theta minus f bar minus g prime of theta to be zero for every theta. And we need equality in this, in Wirtinger's inequality. Are we all, do we all agree? Does that make sense? Okay. So let's, so equality in Wirtinger's inequality tells us that f has to be of this form. Yes, Ignacio?
No, Anna says that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. So, Wirtinger tells us, that f has to be f bar plus a cosine theta plus b sine theta. Okay, so that's the contribution from here. Let's go to this contribution. It tells you that f theta minus f bar has to be g prime of theta. So g prime of theta has to be f minus f bar, and that's a cosine of theta plus b sine of theta. Okay, so this tells us we integrate g of theta is a sine theta minus b cosine theta plus a constant, okay? We need to figure out the constant. So how do we figure out the constant? I'm gonna integrate 1/2 pi, the integral of 0 to 2 pi of g of theta d theta is a 2 pi, the integral from 0 to 2 pi of sine theta minus b 2 pi, the integral from 0 to 2 pi of cosine theta. Plus the average of the integral of a constant is a constant, okay? And this one gives us zero, and this one gives us zero, and so our constant is g bar, okay? So bear with me, we're almost there. G of theta is a sine theta minus b cosine theta plus g bar, okay? Okay, and f of theta, let me write it again, is a cosine theta plus b sine theta plus f bar. Can you tell me what curve? This is the parametrization for what curve? Maybe we should look, let's go back. Let's go back to, we have a little bit of information, I remind you.
Sorry. So Anna and Jesus suggests that it might be an ellipse.
It exactly, and maybe there's a, so it appears to be an ellipse because of the parametrization, but let's look a little bit. So which ellipse will it be? Actually, thank you. So.
Diana says a circle.
Okay, so it's a circle. So let's look what happens when we do, so how do we know if it's an ellipse or if it's a circle? You know, a circle is a very specific ellipse. It depends on what a squared plus b squared is, correct? So, let me, maybe the best thing if I'm gonna let, given the time. So let's compute, bear with me for a second. Let's compute f prime of theta square plus g prime of theta square. Let's do this computation. When you do that, you define, I'll let you check, it gives you a square plus b square. But on the other hand, we know because of the computation we did before that this is L squared over 4 pi squared, okay? And now let's see what happens. This tells us, if you look, f of theta minus f bar square plus g of theta minus g bar square. When you do that squared, it gives you a square plus b square, and that's L squared over 4. And so you have just proven that your curve happens to be a circle, and therefore when you have equality, you have a circle, and that's what you were trying to prove. Questions? Any questions, guys?
Just a couple of happiness reactions so far.
Okay. So what have we done today? Okay, let's come back to here. Well, what we've done today is we put a problem. We ask, you know, what is the, sorry, because it's always our question. We wanted to prove the following theorem. Given a planar figure A of area A and perimeter P, we always have this inequality, and equality occurs if and only if the figure is a disk. And we have proven that. Modulo this inequality, okay? This funny inequality that's here that we haven't talked about at all. This, the inequality that told us this and this. So what we will do next time will be to prove this inequality. To prove this inequality, we need to introduce Fourier series and Fourier coefficients. I'm gonna ask you one favor. I don't know if you've ever played with Desmos. So Desmos is a free program online that allows you to graph things. So I would like you to do Desmos and see the graphing calculator and play a little bit with it. We will use the calculator to do some of the things we need to do next time. And it would be great if you had a chance to look at it before. Okay. Questions? So I'm aware that the notes that I gave for today included a lot more. It gives me a good idea of how much I can cover in an hour and a half. I will readjust for next time. Please don't stress. We will go over all of that next time.
There's a question in the chat. So Ortegon asks if GeoGebra works as well.
Yes, it might work exactly as well, except that I don't know how to use it. So I'm going to give you, a problem. And what I need is for you to be able to enter it in Desmos or in whatever you use and see the picture. So if that allows you to draw a picture, if it's a graphing calculator, that's perfectly fine. Okay. But I just need you to be able to look at the picture. Any other questions?
Maybe I have a question. How do you spell Desmos? Is D-E-S-M-O-S?
Desmos en español.
Desmos.
Desmos. Desmos.com. There we go. Okay. That calculator. Can I ask just your reactions? Can you raise your hand if you know what a Fourier series is? Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, so thank you. That tells me where I should be. Oh, now there's how many people raised their hands? Okay, it gives me an idea of where to start. Okay, guys. So I'll see you next week. Please, my email is toro@udub.edu. Let me put it here if you have questions. The new version of the notes, which will not be fancy, it will be just the notes that of what I did today, written by hand with, but like that, you get to see what we fill in, will also be posted in the Math Sin Fronteras website this after at some point later today. Okay. Great. Any questions? So I'll see you next week. We'll see, Ignacio and I will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Nice to see you guys. Have a good rest of your week.
You.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Ciao.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
De nada.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Gracias.
No, hasta luego, de nada. ¿Me espera un segundo? ¿Sí?